This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It certainly is every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So glad you make it part of your weekend. If you have a question, need some advice, need to talk to a guy, he is here. Walter Assey from Renovco is in studio to answer your questions at 514-790-0800. Grab a line now. Howard, are you comfortable with the term expert?
Sure. How are you again this morning?
I'm very good. We were just talking off the air about home gyms. A lot of people, you know, because of the pandemic, set up a home gym or a home office or what have you. A very popular renovations app. Those were very popular renovations and projects over the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to hunker down and, you know, have their home COVID-proof and virus-proof and make the little own oasis and what have you.
Especially when it came to working out, because for some people, it's very important, not only for their physical health, but for their mental health. They need to work out. And so when gyms were closed, they just decided either you take it to the streets and go outside or set up something indoors.
And you know what? It doesn't take much, really. You know, all you need is one cardio machine, a couple of weights, and, you know, it's not like you have a big excuse there. And then when you have it, you don't have a big excuse not to use it, right? So, you know, in between appointments, now that we're working a lot of us from home, you know, and lunch break, whatever, you could just jump on the machine and do your thing. So it's very practical to have, and it saves you a lot of time.
What's your cardio machine of choice? Is it the treadmill or the elliptical?
I'm an elliptical guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am. I do jogging when the days are nice. So for me, elliptical is a good, you know, and it's less impact, right, on your knees. And
you're right,
what
yeah.
Have you.
Yeah.
Don't forget, I'm in my 40s. So,
you are you know, not. Stop. Fountain of youth sitting across from
talking
here.
About 40s, I want to, not that it's important, but I want to wish my youngest, most beautiful daughter, who's turning 7 today.
7?
Julia.
The
best of birthdays, and I love her very, very, very much. Happy birthday, princess.
What does Julia want for her birthday? Can you share that?
She wants,
secret?
No, she makes it public, and everybody knows. And she's very opinionated about these things, so we had to run out and get her all kind of stuff, but can't wait to see her and kiss her and wish her happy birthday. And she's an amazing little girl.
Very good. Happy birthday.
Can't believe how fast they grow.
Like that. Blink of an eye. 909, you have a question for Walter about a home project, something not working at home, 514-790-0800. You can call now and we'll get you on the air. I've been watching my next-door neighbor totally demolish. They're relatively new owners of the home next door, so they got rid of the old smaller deck, and they're rebuilding a brand new deck, doing a lovely job, and it's fun to watch them, all the progress they make day by day. And they've installed, I think they took our advice, because they came over and looked at ours, and we, about 5 or 6 years ago, we finally went with the composite boards, because we were very bad at maintaining the wood and staining. Yeah. So we went composite, and it was the smartest investment we made concerning the deck.
It does. The only thing that you could potentially have problems with
uh-oh.
Is the
what?
No, not okay. as a product itself, but as far as heat. If you walk barefoot, some of the colors becomes very hot.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So that's, you know, around the pool and you want to be barefoot, sometimes you could get in trouble.
But would that be the only knock on the composite then?
That's the only knock. I mean, I love the way it looks. I love the fact that it's maintenance-free.
Yeah.
When it's nicely installed, it's beautiful. Sometimes when people don't know what they're doing, they kind of install it and you see a banana in it, so it's mm-hmm. not that nice. But, you know, in general, it's a great invention. The more darker colors I find have that issue. The grays and the whites, like the lighter colors, you don't have problem with the heat as far as I know. The darker colors have been an issue in the future. So I don't know in, you know, future materials or technologies they're going to improve that. But if you don't walk outside barefoot and or your deck is not really in the sunny part of the house, then you don't have that problem at all.
That's the case with us too. Plus we also put... after I raved about the floorboards, the composite boards, I'm going to tell you that we covered a lot of the deck with one of those nice outdoor carpets, too, just for aesthetics, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone here, 514-790-0800. James, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Out in NDG. You want to talk to Walter about an issue about your smoke detector?
Yeah, I'm looking to upgrade my alarm system because it's a 20-year-old system, and one of the companies I spoke to, they said that their smoke smoke detectors not only detect smoke, but it's able to detect short circuits in the wiring in the house before a fire starts. Is that possible, or how does that work? My electrician's not even aware of that.
I am not even aware of that as well. And to be quite frank with you, I'll be very, very curious to see what kind of technology that is. Because typically you would have to have something on the panel itself to detect these things, or in every plug. So,
yeah,
it doesn't really, like, the technology, if it's out there, it's great. I've never heard about it. And if you can send us a link to what it is, it will be awesome to research it as well, because I'll be fascinated to know what they have come up with.
Well, never seen too. It before. I've been trying to search it. I haven't found really anything.
I have not heard of that at all. I know that, you know, you have, you know, smoke detectors for different things and connected to electricity and what have you. But search maybe on this one particular area, but not on every plug in the house. That's almost impossible unless they have some type of gadget that they install by the panel or... And again, I've never heard of anything that exists that does that.
Hmm.
Okay, thank you.
But can you imagine if it does exist? It would be awesome, because it will. How many electrical fires you will save? And so many of the fires are electrical. So if that gadget does exist, indeed, insurance companies are going to be the happiest out there to get it, or to give you subventions to have it, or to give you discounts if you have it. So
exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Let's go to the West Island. DDO is where we find Maggie. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
We're very good. What's your question for Walter?
My question is how to get rid of water stains on a brick. It's on the outside of the house, uh-huh. And it looks ugly. Apparently, I had a fellow in a couple of years ago. He tried some sort of acid, and even that didn't take it away.
Hmm. So... My issue with your question is that you said it's a water stain on brick.
Yes.
And brick should be waterproof and should not stain because of water.
Okay.
So I'm almost 100% sure that it cannot be a water stain.
Well, it's discolored, right, Maggie? And it's chipping away. The water's chipping away at the brick as well, I imagine?
It's not chipping away. It's just it's stained.
Hmm.
Okay, so it's just a question to know of what kind of stain it is. Now, there's multiple
it's
things.
It's like a whitish-grayish stain.
Ooh, whitish-gray.
Okay, whitish-gray. So it is. It's mostly... Okay. Now, when he did do the cleaning with the muriatic acid, because that's probably what he used...
Right.
Did it go away?
No.
No.
Never
okay.
did.
All right, and it's a red brick?
It's a red brick, yes.
Mm. Okay. Now, that area in question, is it like where you have a gutter downspout, or is that an area where you would have a lot of water overflow from gutters or roof?
Maybe there was a leak. It's like a bit of a slopey edge in front of the house.
Okay.
But all that has been redone. The roof has been redone over the years. The roof was redone like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since that point, there should be no leakage coming in. It does not get any darker. It does not get any lighter. It's pretty well always the same color.
Okay. So what you had was a progressive damage on that particular area, and that's why I asked you if there was a water source, because that kind of degrades the bricks and create efflorescence in the mortar and pushes all the salt from the cement away when it gets saturated, and that starts staining the brick, and that's why you would have that whitish kind of stain on it.
Okay.
Now, one of the things, because with muriatic acid, is also what you mix and how you mix it.
Okay.
So when you are hiring someone in that area to do it again, because muriatic acid is known to be the best, really, to clean out bricks as far as staining and cleaning is concerned.
Right.
Except so not everybody does their mixes right, unfortunately. So... If you're there to supervise the person that's doing it, if it's a handyman, just make sure that they have the right mix.
Okay.
Between the water and the acid.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, follow the directions properly and then try it again. Because sometimes you might need more than one wash.
Mm.
Now, the other thing that you might want to do before is pressure wash that area. Let it dry, and then come and do it a couple of days later. So you might have to do it several times. if the stain is still on the outside. Now, if the type of brick that you have is some of these cheaper bricks that are extremely brittle and they absorb, it might have been sucked into the brick itself and it's a bit harder to get rid of.
Uh-huh.
But it's worth it to do it multiple times before we write it off as a completely stained brick.
There you go. How's that, Maggie? We're up against the clock. Was that some help for you?
Well, we'll give it a shot. Yeah. It's just that it's been there for years,
yeah,
and it hasn't spread at all. It's just that for curb appeal, it does not look very appealing.
Send me a picture if you can at my email, and I'll look at it, and I'll be able to maybe map it out to see if it's actually the surface or it's really encrusted in the brick itself, and I can maybe assist you or direct you from there.
Maggie, we'll put you on hold, and Ben will take get you the email address. Okay.
I will listen.
All right, hang on. Don't go anywhere. It's 9:17. Back with more of your phone calls at 514-790-0800. The Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey from Inovco is answering your calls.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to The Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Just a beautiful Saturday morning. What a nice start to our day and our weekend. 18 out there. 22 is the high for today. It's going to be a nice day tomorrow as well. Sunny tomorrow. And a high of 23. Going out to Magog, Walter, for Nancy. By the way, the phone number, if you want to talk to Walter and get some free advice here, it's 514-790-0800. Nancy, hi.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
During the winter months, I put up a sheeting on my deck. And what I've used to tape it to the metal framework is the construction-grade sheathing tape, the red duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
So when I take it off, you know, about 90% of it comes off, but some of it has stayed on the metal siding. And I have used the Goo Gone, mm-hmm, but because it's like, I mean, it's not like flat and you can kind of just squirt it on and let it sit there for a while, I'm unable to get this goopy stuff off the metal siding, and I didn't want to ruin it by using a scraper or something. Mm-hmm. But is there something special I could be using?
First of all, that red tape, if it is a problem that is common in many different areas, and I see that all the time. Even people use it by mistake on walls.
Oh, yeah.
They use it on hardwood floors, and that's the worst thing you could do because it's extremely strong, and it really glues to any material that you put it on. So it's very, very, very hard to get rid of. The trick behind it is when we're using it indoors, is we put the painter's tape first, and we tape that red stuff on it. So when we take it out, it peels nicely from those areas that we're using it. If you don't do that, it's unfortunately blood, sweat, and tears. You have to really, really get down there and do it many times. Goo Be Gone, that product is usually what's used the most because of the fact that it does not destroy there are stronger products like, you know, acetone-based products. But the problem with these, sometimes they can be abrasive. And if it's a painted surface, they might damage it.
Yeah,
so you might have to do it multiple
times. This is outside on my deck, and it's I didn't want to scrape it because if I do, then I'll take the nice brown.
That's correct. That's correct.
So, paint off from it. But when you say painter's tape, is that the green tape that you're using?
The green or the blue tape, usually. If you're ever going to use the red tape. Now, for me, using the red tape is a last resource, just simply because it's really strong tape, and it's a problematic tape. We usually use it when we want something heavy, like when we're creating zipper walls, for example, or
yeah,
putting a vapor barrier shield because of dust barriers, or when we're doing decontamination. But then again, we use the red tape, or we use the green tape or the blue tape, and then we glue that, we tape that on top of that. So when you take it out, it's a breeze. You just take it out. You, as you know, the blue and the green tape, they come out nicely. They don't create any damage.
But how strong is it? Because, like, this is outside. It's to keep the weather out, like
not strong at all.
The wintry winds and
yeah,
whatnot, but
so,
is it going to hold my
no,
my strong
no,
sheeting up?
That's why I said it's for indoor use.
Oh, for
now,
indoor use.
You're better off if you are protecting that area, which I don't know why you have to protect it In the winter when it's outside, so technically it's supposed to be protected. So that's a question.
Yeah, but it's just quite a large deck, and I just don't like, you know, it's easier. You don't have to shovel the snow off, and the plastic keeps in it. It's kind of...
Okay, so why don't you just get yourself a tarp, you know, those one-sheet tarps.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then you don't have to have it in sections, and you can cover the whole deck, and instead of using tape, you could just use different weights, like cement blocks or bricks or anything like that. That will work better. It will give you a lot more water barrier because it's one piece. It's waterproof, actually. And
well, what
there's
I put
no
up
drums.
Is the heavy plastic, and it is a one piece. It's a big, thick, kind of clear, but it's doubled, and it fits the whole deck area, and it's quite large. But it's just when I tape it to the upper roofing and down through onto the metal, that's my problem.
So the idea is not to tape it. What you should do, because technically, even like tape with winter and snow and ice, anything with glue does not really, technically, should not hold that much.
This one does.
Yeah, the red tape
really
does, but unfortunately at a price.
When I go to take it off, take it off the plastic sheeting, it's fine. It comes off great.
That's right.
But not from metal.
That's correct. So what you're going to need to do like next year is try to use the weights to anchor it down, or weights and ropes rather than tape, because that's going to be a problem for you every year, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, it's the upper section that has to be taped. I can't put bricks on the, you know, to hold it up. That's my problem.
Unfortunately, if you're going to keep on using that red tape, it's always going to be a problem for you.
It's always going to be a problem. Okay,
that's correct. Okay.
Thanks so much. You guys have a good day.
You
enjoy
too,
the sun.
Thank you. We will. Thank you. Enjoy the enjoy the deck as well. A lot of people getting out in the backyards with this nice weather, and more of that on the way, of course, as we head into the summer of 2022. It's 9:29. A couple of things from the text line as well that we're going to get to. Walter from Renovco is here for the full hour. So if you want to call now and get a question in, you can at 514-790-0800. Hang on. We're going to talk in just a couple of minutes about Jason's question on the text line. Jason, thank you for that, and for Barbara as well. We'll get to those text calls and questions in just a couple of minutes here on CJAD 800.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
You know, over the years that I've been... kind of riding shotgun here on the Home Improvement Show, sometimes, you know, we have weeks where it takes one call, and then all the calls come in about one particular topic, like
That's
sometimes
right.
roofing or bathrooms or plumbing. And today, I think it's about decks. Here's another one about a deck. Donna, are you still there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Donna's in Dollard, Walter, and she has a question about your deck. What's the issue, Donna?
Well, I had a new deck put on last year in August, so I'm going to stain it this year. But the thing is, during the fall, a squirrel ate one little area on my balcony.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's near a tree. And they told me, I had called to see if I should protect it or whatever. And they said, no, no, it's new wood. Don't worry about it, you know. But so it really annoys me. And the thing is, I love the look of the real natural wood. But where the squirrel ate it, it's like, you could see where he ate part of the wood. What would I do in a case like that? Could I possibly paint that area?
My first question is, how hungry was the squirrel?
I don't know, but I was so mad.
How much of a chunk did he take out of it?
Well, you know, it's strange. He did it right near my balcony window where I couldn't really see. And it's like a hand, just like the size of a hand. Mm. Not a lot, but it's just that one area, you know. And I see it, but he was very smart. He did it near the window. So I couldn't see him actually doing it, you know?
Yeah. Now, the fact of the matter is that it's a treated wood, right? That's what you said?
Yes.
Okay. So it's been a year.
Yeah.
Now you can, and you should, and you can do the treatment. So you can seed it and or paint it, whatever you want to do to that deck, as depends on the color, stain it and seed it and so on, and so on and so forth. Having said that, if you don't, like treated wood, it have to do its thing for a year, and you want to let it rest for a year, because anything you would put on it before then, it will peel. It's not, you know, it's not ready for any type of sealing, sealant or paint.
That's
or stain.
It.
And now that it is, anything that you put on it is going to protect it for sure. Now, if it's one board, let's say, and you want to, and it's really bother you and want to just change this one board, it's not a big deal. It could be changed and it won't cost you much. I mean, any handyman within half an hour, he could knock it out and put you a new one. And if you want to just, sand it down, because you're going to need to sand. So let's say it's not very deep and you figure by sanding it down a little bit, it will get rid of those tooth marks or teeth marks or whatever.
That's what I wondered about. I heard about that. Can you just sand it down? It will get rid of that little mark there.
Well, the good news is that you need to sand it anyways to open up the pores of the wood so you can apply the stain and so on and so forth. So whoever is going to do the treatment there is doing some sanding. So, in that area, you're just going to give it a little bit more attention. And then, it you could stain it and, it will be fine. So it's not really a big deal. Where it becomes really a bigger deal, if they eat much of the wood and sometimes you see the cracks starting to appear, that becomes a problematic because the water will get into the crack eventually and will rot that board from within. So that's what you need to be paying attention.
I'll watch it carefully. And I know in the fall I will... Well, I did it last fall when I put a, like what you mentioned, somebody putting a cloth on the floor. Well, I put a cloth all the way around the balcony where the squirrels might go because I didn't want a chance of eating anymore. And I just put rope around it. So it really protected the whole balcony, that area,
Or just serve those squirrels breakfast every morning in the winter. Yeah. That's all I'm
talking
about. Invite them in.
I don't mind squirrels, but I don't want them eating my balcony.
Of course.
That's not really nice.
All right. No, but that's a good idea. I'll find out about the sanding.
All right. Thanks for the call, Donna.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
514-790-0800, the number to call to get your questions and issues answered, resolved here, hopefully. From the text line, it says, good morning, Walter. Several of my electrical sockets only have one receptacle that'll work. We have this issue in the kitchen, in the living room, and some bedrooms. Is there an easy fix for that? Is this a job for an electrician? That's from Jason out in Pierrefonds.
Maybe they were wired like that, so I can't really tell until they take it out and look what happened in there. But definitely, anything that is electrical, I'm very, conservative about it.
Sure.
I really, really think it's not worth it. It is actually a good idea. And I think that's one of the things that is the least called upon for regular maintenance or checkup on our systems. If it's not broken, we don't fix it. It's always a good practice to have an electrician every few years just come and
take a look around.
Take a look around, even for an hour inspection. You do that on your car every few months. Why wouldn't you do that in your house? So it's definitely not right. There's something definitely not right. We start with the breakers to see if these plugs are all in the same breaker and something have jumped. So that's one place to start. If you want to do something yourself, you can unplug the plastic cover just to see what's happening in there, how things are wired up. And that's another way that you could, but as soon as you see there's something wrong, there's loose wiring and so on and so forth, just let it be and have an electrician check it out and
just be safe
and do their thing on it. And sometimes, you pay $100 or $200 for that job, but it's the best $200 you have ever spent.
We're going to go back to the phone here at 940. Richard is on the line from Anjou. Hi, Richard.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Tell us about that flat roof.
Yeah, so I have a duplex. We did the roof about 30 years ago, so it's time to change it. So we're shopping around. And it's the battle between the tar and gravel versus the membrane. So, you speak to one person that does the tar and gravel, they say membrane is terrible. You talk to the membrane person, the tar and gravel is terrible. So I just wanted to get some advice or recommendation.
That's a great question, and that's something that is so funny that you've said that, because I'm just going to make it clear. A lot of the tar and gravel guys don't do well elastomeric membrane, and vice versa. The elastomeric membrane roofers do not do tar and gravel. Now, the elastomeric membrane roofers need to have a special insurance because they use open welding. So it's a torch-down type of a system. So they have to have a great fire insurance because, accidents do happen. Now, I'm going to make it simple for you. You're probably going to pay more for the elastomeric membrane. I'm sure that's the prices you're getting more expensive for the elastomeric membrane. Am I correct?
Actually, they're about the same. There's about a couple thousand dollars difference. Not that much of a difference.
Okay, so you are paying more. Now, what might be happening is that the tar and gravel guy have overcharged the tar and gravel because the difference should have been a bit more than that, the spread. Having said that, elastomeric membrane will typically last you double the time of tar and gravel. If when it's properly applied. I mean, both of them really, it's in the application as well. But as a product, it's great. What I like about it is there's no more gravel to worry about. Because when you have a tar and gravel roof, the idea that the gravel is protecting the tar from the sun.
Yeah.
But what happens with time, wind and rain and snow, that gravel moves around. Mm. So any exposed area of the tar gets cracked and then becomes problematic prematurely sometimes. Sometimes you see a roof 2 years old and it's starting to cause problems simply because they didn't put enough gravel or the gravel have moved around and you do not have a chance to go up and maintain it. So that becomes an issue. The other thing is less weight on your roof. And then the other thing is you have better access to your drains. So you see the drains, you know, that they are clear and they're not clogged and so on and so forth. That's really where the elastomeric membrane will kind of be considered a better product. The only issue with it, like I said, is it's a torch-down application, and the guys really need to know what they're doing, because if they don't, you're going to run into a whole world of trouble. Also, the way they torch it down, the application, how it sticks to the decking, there's a technique there. So they have to be extremely comfortable and know exactly what they're doing. Tar and gravel, the other thing, sorry, I'm just rambling on about this, but it's important because in tar and gravel as well, roofing, it's how many plies that the roofer is giving you. One ply, two ply, three ply, four ply, five ply.
Hmm.
Now, we've seen cases where they put on the contract five ply, but they actually apply three ply. I mean, who's there to really check them?
Hmm.
Nobody's holding a roofer's hand. That's the thing. It's the least supervised job probably on the planet, because you know homeowners really don't want to go up there and stay in the sun or slant in the roof. And
it's a question of trust.
Yeah, you have to trust, or hire an independent inspector to do that. Yeah, and then again, the inspector is not going to be there 24/7. So that's with elastomeric membrane, you don't have to worry about that because it's just the membrane.
Yeah, Richard, are you getting this work done this summer?
Yeah, we're looking at doing it this summer. So we have a few quotes and. You know, the way I look at it, it's, the analogy I have, it's the electric car and the gas car, right? The tar and gravel is the gas car, and the membrane is the electric car. But it's hard to convince my father-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, because it's older generation, and that's what they're used to all their life, right? So we have to kind of look at the newer technology. I can tell you for a fact that elastomeric roofs are great. You know, it's a thing of the future, and that's what probably most roofs will be, there's also a TPO system that is used that's good as well. Tar and gravel is going to be, in my opinion, a thing of the past.
All right. Richard, we have to run. I hope that was a bit of help for you today.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
All right. Good luck with the project. 514-790-0800. Back with Walter Assey from Renovco in just a couple of minutes.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Exactly 10 minutes away from 10. You can still call in and talk to Walter at 514-790-0800. I just want to mention this text, Walter, that came in about an earlier call. Let me see if I can find it. It just jumped here. It says, good morning, guys. As an owner of an industrial washing company, the best product is acetic acid on a pre-soaked wall. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it's a mix for vinegar, and it's vinegar based, I guess, or it acts the same way. If I want like vinegar,
this was the lady who called about her problem with the brick.
Yeah, that's another form of cleaners. I mean, you're getting it from someone that is in industry cleaning, so I'm sure he knows something. If there's a brand in particular, because I looked that up, and there's different brands with different concentrations. So if there's a brand that he actually would, recommend for bricks in particular, because that's a problem with acids, is that you have to get the brand for the particular product you're cleaning, or else you might damage the product.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, we're having also an interesting conversation with Lisa in the break about, because she's a city councilor, as you know, about roofs. And she said that it's important to mention that in the new regulations now, they have to be white roofs. So anything that you install, like if you're doing a tar and gravel, they want the gravel to be white, which is more expensive than regular gravel. Now, the good news in elastomeric roofs is that it also comes in white. So if you are, and you typically will have to be careful because white typically is a more expensive color. But if I were you and you're doing elastomeric roofs, I would stick to these colors. It's even better for the environment. In the summer, it's less harmful for the product itself because it's not attracting the sun rays and it's not, heat is and the sun is not damaging it. So it just elongates the life of your of your roof.
Let's go to St. Lambert. Dorothy, are you still there?
I'm here. I'm here listening with all I do every Saturday morning.
What do you want to talk to Walter about? You had an issue with your hot water?
Yeah, there's a funny noise in the bathroom when I turn. It's just the hot water. It sounds like a ship coming up the seaway.
In the sink or in the shower?
In the sink. Okay. Not the shower, just the sink.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's when you open the faucet. Now,
yes.
It doesn't matter if you open the faucet full or if you open it.
It makes that noise until I kind of open it more or less, and then it'll go away.
So
air that's in there?
You potentially need just to simply replace the washer, and
washer.
That might work. Okay. If that doesn't work, you might have a water hammering issue, and you could solve that by installing a water hammer arrestor.
Okay,
so it's just simply try that. How old are your faucets?
Well, the building's been here since the 70s, so go figure.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
wow.
50 years
so
ago.
Definitely, definitely it's time to retire your washer.
Did you say water hammer arrester?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She
might
hammer.
Not need
what
to
is,
go
what
there
is
because
that?
if it's an older faucet.
Yes.
Usually it's a washer issue. So, you know, just they dry up. And the fact that you told me when you open it up a bit more, it goes away. Mm. That, you know, it's a telltale sign that it is. It could be a smaller issue.
Okay,
so try that.
Thank you.
It's always good that you change all these washers. And then maybe you should do a washer party. Go if they're all 1970s faucet.
Hey, that's a good idea. Do you want to come?
I'd love to.
I invite both of you.
All right, that's very nice.
I've never been invited to a washer party before.
Well, it's always the first time.
I'll bring cake, Dorothy.
How about lobster rolls?
There's another idea. Dorothy, try the washer. Start with that and see how that goes.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Marie is out in Pierrefonds with a question. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
What's going on?
I need to change my room, my roof. It's a newer construction, about 15 years old, and it's in Pierrefonds. It's two floors, and I'm just wondering, like, what type of shingle is best? Is it like BP or Eco? Those seem to be the most common, and do they need to change other things like the drip edge and the vents? Or are they going to use the same thing?
Okay. So when we say it's a brand new construction, there are certain things that we have to take in mind. 15 years old, usually if it's, let's say, medium-range construction, they install what we call a contractor's roof, unfortunately. It would have been nice if they would have given the homeowner the choice to upgrade that roof because, you know, the fact of the matter, you're saying 15 years. That tells me that it is a 15-year-old shingle that they installed, and that's why it's curling and drying and it's time to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of shingle, number one, regardless if it's BP or Eco, because right now they're all using almost the same technology. They're using like the fiberglass and so on and so forth, and they're all great shingles. I like Eco, but that's just me. It's not because BP, just like the colors, it's also a question of the colors as well, to be quite frank with you. And sometimes they have, you know, to match your house finishing, the bricks or
but
the
I'm
siding
not so
color.
About the colors. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're not finicky about the colors, they're both great brands. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is, my suggestion or my recommendation is go with a 50-year shingle. It's made much more solid. It looks much nicer as well. And it lasts a lot longer. That's number one. Number two, any roofer who's going to re-put the same plumbing vents and the same max vents back on is a roofer that you really don't want to take. Okay? Put the new ones.
Okay.
Ensure that they put... Because right now, I mean, again, in a contracted roof, something that you're going to see is you're probably going to not have any synthetic paper underneath.
Okay.
They want straight to the plywood. I like the fact that to have some synthetic paper underneath my shingles. I would also take a look at my eye sheet membrane on the perimeters where the gutters meet the roof. Ask the questions of how... Because that is decided... according to the slope that you have on the roof. So if you have a roof that is, you know, well sloped and steep, 3 feet will suffice. But in certain areas, you can go 6 to 9 feet. It depends.
Okay.
So these are questions that you need to ask your roofer. And if you don't, a lot of the roofer, well, you never ask for it.
Okay.
So ask all these questions. Make sure that they change your plumbing vents, your max vents. See if you have adequate amount of max vents as well.
Are they going to keep the same drip edge?
I mean, at this point, I change everything, right? So you're taking everything. The drip edge does not cost much.
Okay.
For the whole roof, maybe you'll pay $300. So it's not really worth it. And usually they bend it and they, you know, so just take it out, put brand new drip edge. I'm actually surprised that you have a drip edge because newer homes, a lot of them don't even have drip edge. So that's a good thing.
Marie, I had the same issue because I bought the model home in my neighborhood. So the tiles only lasted 15 years and we had to replace them.
Mine, they lasted like 13. It was BP. There were a lot of
recalls.
issues.
Yeah, but I mean, the newer BP generation now, they resolve these issues and, you know, the whole technology is different.
But 50-year shingle, that's the guaranteed for 50 years?
Yes, the shingle itself is guaranteed for 50 years.
Okay.
So, a good roof, honestly, like if you want to take a good, like medium age of a roof, 25 to 40 years, I've seen anything, you know. But again, we'll talk more. I know we're running against the clock, but it's not just the roof. There's the insulation, there's the soffits, the ventilation. There's many, many things we talk to kind of elongate the life of a roof. But at least if you start with these basics, as far as your roofer is concerned, you're in a very good starting point.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Look at that. Where'd the hour go? 9:59. Walter, thank you as always.
Always my pleasure, bud. Always my pleasure.
Walter Asi from Renovco is back here next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Lisa's hovering around with her questions and answers for you as well here on the car show that's coming up next. Thanks to Ben and Master Control. Tom's standing by with the latest in the news, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow morning bright and early at 6 o'clock.